The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is September 23rd, 2014, and we are sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company here in upstate New York, where we're not the biggest, but we are the best. The motto is, we don't try, we succeed. And today is Tuesday, so obviously anybody that's been paying attention to this show knows that Roger LaPointe is a regular on the show. He does it weekly, and Roger's involved now. In case you haven't heard us last week, we are now doing roundtable discussions, and we had a killer one last week with Roger, Rob Regish, and T-Rex Bankins, all about our definition of strength individually. It had to be one of the best shows I've ever been involved with. Not only was it really exciting, everybody walked away with like a, as Rob said, a dopamine high. It was fantastic. But before I bring Roger in and we get started, we're going to do a special show. A few of our listeners have contacted us. How come you don't do anything with Indian clubs and blah, blah, blah? Well, today you're going to get it. We're going to do a combat sports podcast today. But before we get going, I want to just say thank you and hello to a few people that have contacted me, and they are going to come on the show. Frank from Boston, Aaron from California, and our good friend Herman from Germany. This guy is sticking with us right to nail the teeth, man. Herman, I want to say hello to you. Thanks for sticking with us on the show. And today we got another big name coming on, Steve Helmicki. Is going to join the show weekly, tentatively right now, and he is the owner of Primordial Strength Systems. He's out in Buffalo. Great guy. We'll get into more of that later when we talk to him today at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. But, Roger, with no further ado, welcome to the show. Glad to have you. We're going to really get into something I don't hear many people approach on any of these shows. So say hello to us, and, you know, we obviously know you are the president of Atomic Athletic. Glad to have you, my friend.
Thank you, Eric. Glad to be here. It's always fun.
We're glad you're here. Yeah, and, you know, wasn't that great the other night with the roundtable?
That was fantastic. Yeah. We got into some of our personal philosophies and, having a group like that.
Yep.
We played well off of each other. It was one of those things where, I don't want to get in too much of a kumbaya kind of deal.
Yep.
But,
yep.
The concepts and the big ideas were there.
Mm-hmm.
And it really worked.
It did. It was too, Raj. It was not only was it guys, I mean, the experience sitting between the four of us alone, but how I felt was I felt like a little kid again, like with training. It was like there was such – if you could have seen me face to face, my eyes were lit up like it was Christmas morning when you're looking at everything around the Christmas tree, your presents. It was a very fulfilling show. I hope everybody walked away the way we all felt, because I'll tell you what, we might have had different opinions how we thought of strength, but man, it was just like a head-on collision. It was like, I don't know, I can't wait to do the next one because I'm going to think of some other stuff. I thought it was a very good subject, and the minds there were, it was like everybody was lit at the same rate, and it was a blast.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Anybody who's listening, that's one, definitely download it, Get your big cup of coffee in the morning if you're taking the metro into work or whatever and listening to the podcast, which, you know, I know that if I still lived in the D.C. area, that's exactly what I'd be doing. It's, you know.
Well, Herman takes it every – Herman's in Germany. He drives back and forth to work listening to it. That's what he does. So,
yeah,
you know.
It's a big thing. You know,
it really is.
Maybe – you know, some of the guys are listening to the podcast when, you know, in the middle of the night. I do that sometimes.
Yeah.
Wake up
so
in the middle of the night. I've had them downloaded, and, you know, I'm playing solitaire while listening to the podcast.
Well, you know, like, you know, the interesting thing is with these, too, because they're so loaded with information. When I had Brooks on the show the other day. And, you know, we were talking about his new book. And I understand totally where he's coming from, because since I've started doing this and talking to all you guys and everything, and what's touched me probably more than anything, and I know everybody wants everything like right now. You know, we want to download everything. We want to see everything. But there's still something about a book to be able to hold it, get comfortable wherever you want. Like you said, grab your coffee, grab your protein drink, whatever you're doing, and sit and read it. Just kind of be quiet. And the thing that I have found with books, and I'm sure you felt it, you know, like you, I got an extensive library, obviously, because I love this stuff. You know, lately I've been going back and grabbing old books, old, whether it's old Iron Man's, you know, it could be Dinosaur, whatever, okay? And I'm rereading them all again. And, you know, it's like same thing with the podcast. You know, you do miss things. And when you go back and read them, say, geez, I didn't think of that. Or that's right, that's what it is. So, you know, listen to these podcasts. You're going to really get some good education. So with that segue, we're going to talk about some combat sports today. We're going to get into the Indian clubs, the Iron Boots, and Roger's going to educate you on this because he knows far more about this than I do. I've dabbled with it, but he has quite a bit of experience. So, Raj, where are we going to start?
All right. Well, we had that really great email that was sent to you. I think it was last week, Jason, asking about Indian clubs and would I hit on that. And, let me tell you, I got into Indian clubs 10, 11 years ago. And what got me into Indian clubs, and this is what's so great about the internet, okay? Right here is why the internet is cool. There's a lot of uncool stuff about the internet, okay?
Right.
You know, you get haters out there, you get, you know, whatever. But one of the cool things is the international aspect of it, where the internet is worldwide. And aside from the fact that you can, you know, look at travel websites and stuff like that, on the other ends of those things are real people. So at some point, I think it was 2003, 2002, somewhere in there, I got an email from a guy named Yasser Ulhaq. And Yasser said he was moving to the Detroit area and was looking for a place to learn Olympic lifting. And where did I have any suggestions on where he could do this? And I said, well, right now in the Detroit area, there is no place to do any Olympic lifting whatsoever. This was 11 years ago. CrossFit hadn't started yet, really. I mean, there were a couple CrossFit gyms in Southern California, but it was nothing. So Olympic lifting was seriously in a couple of schools, and by schools I mean a couple of college weight rooms for the sports teams, and in a couple guys' garages and basements. You know, it was like for the Detroit area, you had me and Bud Charniga.
Yeah.
And that was it. I mean, yep. That was literally it. So, you know, I said, if you're in the Detroit area, stop by my house. You know, here's my phone number. Mm-hmm. And I gave it to him. And sure enough, about 2 months later, I get a phone call from this guy with this British accent. I'm thinking, huh, okay. And I said, so where are you calling from? He says, Auburn Hills. I said, Auburn Hills?
Right near you.
You mean like half an hour up the road from me? He says, yeah. I'm at my sister's house. She lives here. We're both originally from Pakistan. And I talked to you by email. Great. Well, Yasser and I became lifelong friends. And while we're having lunch one of these times, I asked him about Indian clubs. And he says, oh, yeah. You know, that's the traditional tool. The primary traditional tool for the Pelwans. And I said, Pelwans? He says, yeah, well, they're wrestlers, but they're strong men. It's sort of a broad term. And I said, okay, well, so what kind of wrestling do they do? He says, you know, it varies a little bit, but it's all over what might have been called India by the British. And that's a pretty big area. He says, yeah, it's, you know, it's like half the world for population. He says, but it's half the world that over here you don't hear much of. And it's the traditional sport of India. And he says, really? What's it called? He says, well, the most popular name is Kushti. We can look it up on the internet. The problem is the British came in and introduced cricket and football. We call it soccer here, of course. And today in what's modern India, which is much smaller than what the British controlled at one point, cricket is basically the national sport. And the wrestling's just disappearing. And I said, okay, so we pulled up some of it. I said, have you ever been to one of these places? He says, oh, yeah. It's, you know, they're really, really cool. Some of those guys live there. I can show you some of the moves with the clubs if you had any. He says, I'm not really good at it. Like some of these guys, I mean, they have spikes sticking out of their clubs and stuff like that.
The good stuff.
Yeah, he says, those guys are really hardcore. They live it like a Shaolin monk, and there's aspects of yoga in it and all this stuff. Wow. Okay. So I had some clubs made up based on, you know, some big clubs made up based on some that were made for Kim Wood, and he gave me this pair to copy. And they were huge. Yep. And when I say huge, I think they weighed 28 pounds. Yeah, they were genuine Persian meal type things. And he got them done according to dimensions, I guess, from Frank Gotch, who used Indian clubs. And, of course, Gotch was a serious, amazing
wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Gotch learned the clubs and a bunch of this old-time Indian wrestling-type training, which was over here. You know, wrestlers for over here, I remember in high school doing a lot of rope climbing, you know, running with weights, things like that. And that is what wrestlers did over there. But they also had these clubs. Now, clubs in this country, and we call them Indian clubs, not because of the American Indians,
right?
Because of the India Indians.
Yep.
And
yep.
It was awesome. Yeah, sir. I said, so what are these gyms like? And he said, you know, this is going to sound a little bit trite or something, but you know in the Conan movie, that dirt pit that he gets thrown into
yep.
to fight?
Yep.
He said, that's actually what it's like, except that they're not trying to kill each other with weapons. they actually put the little kids in a dirt pit and they wrestle.
Yep.
And yep. I said, wow. As it turns out, the dirt pits are raked and, for lack of a better term, mulched,
mm-hmm.
Almost like a garden. And they throw in different spices, like you might throw on food, you know.
Yep.
And different clays and sands in there, so they get exactly the right consistency. And they mm-hmm. plow it every morning. And they've got a sort of a hoe that they use. And they flip the dirt every morning, and then they flatten it out. And actually what they use to flatten it out is the preparation of the Akara wrestling area. The Akara is the name of the gym. Is flattened out smooth, and that preparation is part of the workout.
Yep.
To the extent that they take the Sumtola, they have a rope on it, and one of the wrestlers tows the Sumtola around,
mm-hmm.
just like a pulling sled.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the skill or strength level of the wrestler pulling it, he might mm-hmm. even have one of his buddies stand on the Sumtola.
Nice.
And, you've got these guys out there that say Indian wrestlers do nothing but body weight training.
That's all bull. I know that for sure.
Exactly.
That's
so much BS. And, unless you call body weight training pulling a, 50-pound Sumtola with a guy standing on it and you're using his body weight.
Yeah, and, the old saying is, the sum of the parts make the whole. I mean, you remember, we've talked before, look at the great Gamma. I mean, you remember you talk about neck work. These guys are like attaching cinder blocks to chain and
the Garnal that I sell.
Yeah.
The big granite rings.
Yeah.
I've sent postcards. One of my favorite postcards is this old picture that I've got of two Indian guys, and you can't tell how big they are because there's nothing in the picture to really compare them to. It kind of like some of the pictures on my site where I look huge and I'm 5'3", but it's all relative, right?
So well, yeah, but
you see these two guys standing there, and they've got their arms crossed in front of the classic strongman pose, right? And they're mm-hmm. wearing yep. their dhoti, which is the Indian, guys here will call it a diaper or something, but
yeah.
it's not.
It's
their traditional
mm-hmm.
swimsuit kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they're standing there. These guys look tough as nails. And the one guy is standing behind this pair of clubs that the handles are up to his chest. And
yeah,
these
huge.
Things are huge. I'm yeah. sure you've gotten that postcard, right, Eric?
Yeah, I've got yeah. it. And think about trying to swing one of those.
Oh, I've got a pair of 24-pounders out in the warehouse right now
yep.
that
yep.
I did a custom paint job for a guy
yep.
on them. And they're probably shipping out today or tomorrow. It depends on how dry they are. But, I occasionally do that for right. certain customers that have been customers for a while. They say, can you do a custom paint job? Whatever. So I get into that. That's
well, let's before we get going, mm-hmm. I mean, for people that don't know anything about Indian clubs, most of the time, most Indian clubs are constructed with wood. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
The traditional way to do Indian clubs is solid wood.
Yep.
And when I say solid wood, there are a lot of different designs for Indian clubs. Anybody who okay. says, this is the way an Indian club is made, end of story, is yep. hasn't really done their research, or they're trying to sell you something.
Well, Raj, is there a traditional... You know, like everything, like an Olympic bar, okay, 44 pounds.
Right.
Is there a traditional club, if we want to use that word traditional, quote unquote, that would be kind of like, I don't know if I want to say a beginner or what, but let's say you've got one that's maybe 3 feet long and 18 pounds. Is there something in that genre there that would be more of a standard club, or are they all – I know they're scattered all over, but if I come to you and say, I need a club, Raj, but I'm not going to swing a 40-pound club,
right.
what do you tell me?
All right. I tell everybody the same thing. I say, all right, have you swung clubs before? Yes or no? No, I haven't. Okay. Are you a lifter, like serious lifter? Yeah, yeah. I'm a serious Olympic lifter. I'm a serious power lifter. Okay, great. What do you press? And they say, oh, I bench press. No, not bench press.
Yeah.
Standing press with a barbell or with dumbbells. Dumbbells are preferable. And if a guy says, okay, you know, I can press 85-pound dumbbells. Okay.
Yep.
That's a serious dumbbell press right there.
Yep.
I say Indian clubs – you're going to be able to do effectively with good technique roughly a quarter of the weight that you could do with a dumbbell press. This is what I've come up with over the years. And there are two basic designs that I sell, which are the two most popular. There's what I call Persian meals, which are basically longer and somewhat cone-shaped, where the wide end is furthest from the handle, okay?
Yep.
Then there's the British style, which I call it the British style because this is the style that became popular in Great Britain and the United States 150 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The British did not invent this style. That style is definitely more of a southern Indian style. So you've got the Persian meals and you've got the southern Indian style. And the southern Indian style, or British style as I call them on the site, are shorter and more bulbous. Okay.
Yep.
Now, as geographically those two areas get closer and closer together, you're going to find some of each style in the different facilities.
Mm-hmm.
The Persian style tend to be associated with the Islamic type Iranian facilities called the Zirkana, okay, which is basically the Akara adapted to a version of Islam, maybe is going as far back as 1,000 years ago,
okay?
Many of the techniques are the same. The big difference is the British style clubs are not going to get as long because, and they're correspondingly not going to get as heavy, but you can do more exercises with them than with the Persian meals. The Persian meals get much heavier and much longer, to the extent that, you know, one of my buddies who's done some Indian club demos at my Atomic Athletic Great Black Swamp Old Time Strongman picnics, the best one being probably his demo from the 2009 picnic, which is on DVD. Okay. Bob G. Bob is in Homeland Security, mm-hmm. and he videoed one of these competitions that they have in Iran.
Okay.
So, and by the way, G is not his real last name.
Yeah. Because, I didn't think so.
Yeah, exactly. Well. And on the website and stuff, we spell it G-E-E. But
yep.
Bob was over in Iran. He took video footage of one of these contests, and it was not unlike going to a weightlifting contest here. You know, bunch of guys, mm-hmm. they take their turn doing their thing. The clubs that they swing in these contests weigh, Bob said, right around 65 pounds a piece, which is nuts. And yeah. they're solid hardwood. They're long. He said the guy that I watched on his phone had to be 6 feet tall, if not a little taller. And Bob's a shorter guy. He's like 5'7". Yep. Maybe 5'8". Yep. He said this guy was over 6 feet tall. He had the biggest shoulders he'd ever seen in his life. No extra body fat, nothing but, you know, serious tendon strength. And he was also a national level wrestler, I think he said. So my guess is if this guy was 6'1", 6'2", he probably weighed no more than 200, 210, something like that, because he was not big and bulky. He had very low body fat, but he was one of these big-boned, tendony-looking guys, but he had monster shoulders. Holy cow. And forearms, like you wouldn't believe. I would not want to have this guy get a hold of me. So they do these 10-minute swinging competitions. With these 65-pound clubs. And the clubs, while they're made out of solid wood, a blacksmith will take pieces of thick plate steel bands and wrap them around the ends of the club so to get the weight up there. Because, to do these exercises, the clubs have to be somewhat thin. They can't be bulbous like the British style. I did a pair of 16-pound British style ones for a guy. For the guys who are familiar with the photo on, I think, the Facebook page.
Is this your Facebook page that you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a shot of me with the American Patriot style clubs, I call them. I had a guy who was hand making those, who still does work for me. In fact, he's making me a custom pair of clubs that are going to be meals. He got some 100-year-old barn beam oak.
Okay.
And I'm going to get some made out of not laminated wood, solid wood. I mean, it's solid. When we do the laminated stuff, it's solid. But this is non-laminated, aged barn beams that he's going to be making these custom clubs for me out of. I can't wait.
Before we go any further, too, all right, because this is a pretty new show, and I know not many people are talking about this. When you're talking swings now, are we talking like a halo around the head with the club?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, just for anybody that's not sure, Raj, we don't have to get real deep into it, but just kind of give a brief description, because what I want to do here is this stuff is so interesting and pretty deep that, you know, let's just give a few examples so they know, because obviously they got a point of reference if they want to go and talk to you or out and look at Atomic Athletic. We got a little bit more for them. So just describe that briefly, how you would do it, how you'd set up.
Okay. A full Indian club workout for me, And this is, and I sometimes do that. I okay. use Indian clubs every single time I work out. I've got that right torn rotator cuff. Yep. I can do snatches with body weight still at 43 in a torn rotator cuff. Okay.
Exactly.
And the reason is because of training with the clubs. Because what you're doing with clubs is it's not just the weight of the club.
Okay.
It's lever. It's the weight of the club. It's leverage. And it's centrifugal force. Those are your resistance.
Okay.
But you're also working circles and arcs. Okay? So instead of, like, so much of what we do, and I'm going to simplify this a little bit. I don't want to piss off.
No, I got you.
I don't want to piss off the deadlifters or the bench pressers or anything.
I don't really. I don't even give a shit about that. I could care less.
That's not the issue.
Right.
But, so much of what we do in the Western world is very linear, okay?
Yep.
So a bench press is basically linear. We are resisting gravity, okay? And, you know, a clean and jerk can be thought of as basically linear in that we're just resisting gravity. That's not the case with clubs because – you're doing these circles and arcs. Now, I always start off with a light pair of clubs to warm up and loosen up everything. With your clubs, just like with dumbbells, nobody would ever say, you only need one pair of dumbbells. 100 pounders, that's all you need.
Yeah.
Well, 100 pounders are great. And there are some things that you can do with 100 pounders, but you're never going to do, you know, side laterals with 100 pound dumbbells.
No, not at all.
And as much as I'm not into the bodybuilder concept, you know, doing some side laterals is not a bad idea occasionally. No. There's, you know, I use it as a more of a physical therapy concept. But, you know, especially let's say you are doing physical therapy, you know, depending on the physical therapy you're doing, 5 pound side laterals with dumbbells are going to be very useful.
Mm-hmm.
Just like with the clubs, the giant Persian meals, and I've never sold a Persian meal bigger than 36 pounds.
Okay.
And I honestly believe that there aren't any Americans who did not grow up, you know, maybe in Southeast Asia doing this kind of thing who could use anything bigger than, let's say, a 40-pound Indian club.
Yep. It,
completely useless. It'd be like giving somebody who had only done bench press as a barbell that weighed 500 pounds and saying, yep, you've got to clean and jerk this.
Exactly.
You would never be able to do that.
Nope.
You know, so the I always start off small. And by small, I've got – if you look at Paul Taras Volkovinsky's website, indianclubs.com.au,
mm-hmm.
He came here on his first worldwide tour. He came to Bowling Green, Ohio, is one of his destinations, to meet me. And I was like,
cool.
Wow, that's awesome. And
yep,
we had a blast. One of his favorite pair of clubs from my personal collection, you can see that personal collection video clip on his website as well as the Atomic Athletic website. In the if you go to the Indian clubs section,
mm-hmm,
on the categories on the left, go to British style Indian clubs. And I have been adding this clip to a number of the descriptions, like individual product descriptions.
Sure.
Where you can see Paul. Yeah. Okay. The one to really check out is the 4 pound Balochistan meal pair. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a unique pair. And I saw these literally in a picture of a what was called a Kung Fu combat sports facility in Baluchistan, which is, I think, part of Afghanistan now, but it might be Pakistan. I've always liked that area of the world because I had a professor in college that did a class on, a culture and society class on India. And he was from there. And that country no longer exists, but many of those people consider themselves it. Anyway, so I found this picture, had these done. They're definitely a different design from the normal British and Persian meal styles that I sell. But that video, it's like a 20-minute video of Paul doing all kinds of Indian club work, even with the half-pound clubs that were my great-grandmother's. I'm guessing they're 100 years old at least. And he does some really cool wrist and finger work with it.
With them?
Yeah, where, all kinds of wrist twirling and stuff like that. You'd think half-pound clubs, that's nothing. What benefit is that going to do? Let me tell you, your wrists and forearms and finger strength are going to get built up like not like anything else you can do. It's an amazing thing. I rarely go that light. I typically start off with a 1.5-pound Japanese pair that I've got. They're also antiques. And they were hollow and calibrated with BBs.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, they're one of those ridiculous finds that I look for this stuff, and I live in a college town.
Yep.
Honest to God, I found these at a garage sale.
I
paid $7 for the pair. To have these made.
Yep.
I'd have to charge like, I don't know, $200 or something because of the milling work that's done on the inside with a wooden plug. It's ridiculous.
Fill it and all. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, though. With this type of training, do you do Indian clubs before you get into your weight workout? Obviously, I take it if you want to do any recovery, you can do this on your off days. But if you're going to mate this up with some type of weightlifting, is that something you would normally do?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so tell everybody basically. Just give us like a short routine you do. So you're going to do whether you do your Indian clubs before or after, and then just briefly get into a workout that you would do to mate them together, Roger.
All right. Here would be a very standard, generic type workout where I was going to lift weights that day. Like I said, every time I lift, I do some kind of Indian club work as my warm-up, typically 5 to 10 minutes. And I'd start off with probably my 1.5-pounders, and I do a basic pullover. Now, all of this is standing, and I do sometimes combine lower body work with it, but for right now, just for ease of you're not watching a video, this is audio, I'm just going to describe the upper body stuff, okay?
Sure.
So imagine the basic pullover would be an alternate pullover. So the club is sticking straight up. And, well, I swing the one arm back. I'm swinging it back a lot like if I was just really trying to pound a nail with the hammer.
Right.
Okay? And there are a lot of guys who will try doing Indian club work with hammers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. I don't like using hammers for Indian club work. Mm-hmm. Hammers are fine for a lot of different things.
Yep.
But because the head is oblong,
mm-hmm.
and the handle is not round, it's not balanced. That
right.
is a key to any Indian club, is that you really want a good balance with them, because that can, being unbalanced can throw you off, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But that basic pullover, I would do, I don't even count reps anymore.
Right.
What I do is I've got the stereo going.
Yep, so you know the minutes in the song, right?
Roughly. You know, if, you know, I've got different playlists on my iPod. And,
sure.
You know, if I'm starting off with Satisfaction.
Right.
You know, okay, it's Satisfaction. How many reps is that? I don't know. Maybe 100?
Yep.
Beats me. I'm not doing that much weight. The key is the stretching and the the focus, the mental aspect of this, because I'm getting into the workout at that point. This
yep.
is one of the hallmarks of Indian club training is the mental focus, because you're actually doing reps. It's the opposite of like Olympic lifting or power lifting, where you're doing,
yep.
you know, singles and doubles.
Sets and reps, right?
Yeah. So I'm doing all these reps, and then I'll start adding variations into that pullover. I'll do what I call a Persian pullover, which is sort of a halo kind of movement with the
yep.
club. I'll do an outside spin, which is something that if you guys have – most of the listeners here have watched the original Conan movie with Schwarzenegger.
Sure.
The,
yep.
the sword play that he does at the beginning
yep.
On that mountain scene, that outside turn of the wrist is mm-hmm. – what I'm talking about, where you can combine that with the pullover.
Yep.
Then I'll go into big circles to the front. So these would be straight arm circles
mm-hmm.
where I'm really stretching out at that point the entire clavicle and
yep.
as much of my back as possible. And sometimes I'll do it as an alternating thing. Sometimes I'll just do 10 to the right, 10 to the left. And the key is you want to learn to have gravity be your friend, because
yep.
you've got force from centrifugal force. And the centrifugal force, I think, is the real important aspect of Indian clubs when you combine it with working the muscles, ligaments, and tendons in directions and ranges of motion that you're not used to. Because mm-hmm. you can really stretch everything out. When I go to an Olympic lifting or any kind of weightlifting competition that I'm in, I bring
yep.
a pair of 2-pound Indian clubs in my duffel bag now. And guys
mm-hmm.
will look at me like, what the hell is he doing? And
yeah.
I still use the warm-up that Smitty taught me, which is seriously 9 lifts, and then I've got my first attempt.
Yep.
But at 43,
mm-hmm.
those 9 lifts, I've got to get stuff stretched out first and
yep.
warmed up.
Yep.
Well, I don't want to ruin my 1-rep max for
right.
that day. So I'll right. use the 1-pound clubs, get a serious full body stretch, get the blood pumping,
mm-hmm.
and then I stretch out my lower body afterwards, and then I get right into the Olympic lifts, where
mm-hmm.
my legs are not worn out.
Right.
So I go from the big circles to what I call a double full rotation. It's a big circle mm-hmm. in the front and a small outward circle in the back. Mm-hmm. And this is that amazing hypnotic one where you see the guy using two hands. He's going crossing in the front and then doing two small ones over his head in the back.
Yep.
And I'll do that for a while. Then I'll jump up to the next size club I want to do, let's say a 3-pounder or a 5-pounder.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do that one-handed, always with the hand I'm not using in presentation position, which is with mm-hmm. the club head up. So you're actually getting a lot of biceps and shoulder work with that alone.
Yep.
I'll do that double full rotation one-handed, and it's a slight variation, but the angles are different. Then I'll do one-handed with the other hand. Then I'll do that double full rotation where it's actually the double full rotation. So I'm using two hands at the same time.
Yep.
Then I'll go through that same sequence again with the next size club I'm going to. Let's say a pair of 8s or 10s or 12s. Now, here's the key. I'm only 5'3".
Mm-hmm.
So I've been using British-style clubs the whole time here. Then by the time I get into the 8s, 10s, 12s, maybe 15s, except for the one American Patriot-style, British-style 10-pounders that I've got, I'm doing Persian meals.
Mm-hmm.
I can do the double full rotation with the lighter Persian meals going up to even 12-pounders. I've gotten that high, which is people are like, oh, my God, how is he doing this? Well, it's taken a long time to get up to that. And the period of the full motion is much slower with a heavier club.
Yep.
Making it a different subtle, it doesn't look all that different to the onlooker, but to the person doing it, it's a very different movement. And a lot more like the lockout of a snatch when you're doing that. The key is I'm only 5'3" and my arms are correspondingly, you know, for somebody who's 5'3".
Mm-hmm.
So when the club is pointed down, I can't have that club pointed down and do that movement. So I'm limited to the length of that club. But with that kind of exercise, there's another issue, and that's when you've got the clubs turned on the inner point of the back outside turn where they would hit each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do I deal with that? You have to do it alternating.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, so you've got one hand in front while the other's in back, which actually looks like you're doing some kind of, I don't know, nunchuck kind of routine or something. Mm-hmm. It's really impressive to look at, and it's something that whenever I do a demo now, I make sure to do that movement because it's a good warm-up for me for a demo, and it's really impressive. I know nobody in the audience is going to say, oh, yeah, I can do that.
Right.
Because,
well, let me ask you, Raj, so basically what you're doing is a series of progression in case anybody didn't catch that, obviously adding, you know, a different weight, different weight, different weight.
Yep.
Okay, so we get to the point where you're fully warmed up and neurologically you're ready to roll. Your brain is totally charged now.
Yes.
Okay, let's just say we'll just give an example. I mean, you know, let's say one of the students of this show can deadlift 500 pounds, okay? And they're very good at it. They've done it multiple times. After a warm-up like that, could they come in at 90% of 500? I mean, it sounds like what I like to do with a different set of body weight stuff where it not only prepares you mentally and neurologically, but at that point you're ready to probably tear the bar in half. So with all the Indian club work you described as your warm-up, could you come in technically if you had the experience and, say, go 90% of 500?
I wouldn't jump right into 90%, but okay. What I would do is I might do 3 reps at 50%,
okay,
and then 2 reps at 75, and then you could do singles at 90.
Yep.
So that's those are pretty big jumps right there.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. But, you know, you've prepared your musculature anyways with the club. So
you're set at that point.
Yeah, and that's the thing. See, that's what we're trying to get out here that, you know, yeah, maybe you want to do a few warm-ups with the weighted deadlift, obviously. But what we're trying to do here is get you a lot quicker at your goal, because we all know when you're doing the standard, you know, 135, 225, 315, that will start gassing you if you're not in good shape. And by the time you hit 500, you know, maybe yes, maybe no. So
yeah, a lot of guys, I've seen this in weightlifting meets, you know, especially young guys in Olympic lifting who might have a CrossFit background.
Yep.
Man, they're doing like whole workouts before they ever get on in, to do their first attempt.
Yeah.
And then... and that's for the snatch. And then they do like another full workout before their clean and jerk. It, you know, my guess is that the 22-year-old man or woman, whoever's doing it, who's doing that can easily get an extra 20% out of their platform max because really – all you're talking about when you're doing a weightlifting competition, let's say you've got your snatch and your clean and jerk.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is total. That means one snatch is going to count, one clean and jerk is going to count. So all these lifts that you're doing in the weight room, you're leaving max in the weight room.
Yeah.
So the Indian club warm-up for that kind of concept, whether you're powerlifting, Olympic lifting, you know, I've got guys who are doing the Highland Games now who have seen me demonstrate this and talk to them about it at the Detroit Highland Games.
Yep.
They're throwing clubs into their duffel bags for the for their warm-ups, because why leave your best lift on the practice platform or the warm-up platform?
So to speak, absolutely.
It's ridiculous. So you hit the nail on the head there, Eric, with the progression. Now, the next thing that's related to the Indian clubs is the Gada, which is a two-handed club. And there are a number of different varieties of these as well. But essentially what you've got is slightly different movements because it's two-handed, where it's also a much longer club. Even for me at 5'3", I'm using a 4-foot club, okay?
Wow.
The longest meals that I use are 32 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's
quite a big that's a stretch.
Right, that's 16 inches longer than the biggest club I use. So the sort of most extreme version of the Gada would be like a stone ball on a stick.
Yep.
And I've sold a number of our granite balls with holes drilled through them so that guys can do that. You know, they'll get like the 25-pounder or a 50-pounder like that. And they're doing these two-handed workouts swinging the Gada, which is
fantastic. How awesome is that visually to look at,
you know, I've got a 25-pounder that's going out to a longtime customer in New York, Robert, if you're listening to the podcast, I know you are using your Persian meals, and he's a martial arts guy.
Okay.
Basically, it does a lot of body weight stuff too. But that's not atypical. I've got a lot of martial arts and MMA guys who are doing club work and of various sorts, and it's all this Indian club type stuff. Maybe they've got a Sumtola, a single one, which I'll have guys say, oh, that's just a log bar. Well, not really. It's not adjustable weight because you don't want anything sticking off the ends. And it's solid wood with handles cut into the perimeter lengthwise. So, unlike the log bar that you see in the strongman contest where your hands are in the middle of the log and it's a hammer curl type grip, you're doing that movement for a maximum weight, basically, you know, as a modified roll up, clean, and then a press. The Sumtola, you might press the Sumtola, but it's going to feel a lot more like the stone padlocks, or if people aren't familiar with those, think of a kettlebell bottoms up press.
Oh, yeah.
Where you've got a lot of wrist and forearm and grip involved. And then with the Sumtola, once again, you're doing circles and arcs with this log, which is an amazing thing for the shoulders. These are exercises. These are not competition moves. Even the competitions that they had in Iran, in Persia, that my buddy Bob saw, they were doing that for time. So it's not a single lift. It's a training exercise for another sport.
Well, that's what I was going to add to it, because it's like you're doing some pretty amazing things with these devices here, and they've got to have a serious carryover. You know what I'd like to do with them? I'd love to do, maybe next year we'll do this. You know, I'll get a few of these other items from you. I have your padlocks and, you know, all that. I wouldn't mind embarking maybe for even 60 days. And I'm not talking about loading a ton of stuff, you know. Maybe we'll do some clubs, maces, whatever. And we'll get it where we're going to really hit everything we talked about, shoulders, forearms, you know, the wrist, obviously. Because, you know, when you bring that up, that reminds us of some stuff I was reading, some old-timer stuff the other day. And I probably knew it, but it was, like I said, it's always good to go back and reference. And one of the things that really struck me good was the talk of how you should really, really develop the wrists and how much the wrists carry over to the whole strength of the arm. But, you know, for anybody, Roger and I did a show on biceps last week. Here's the kicker. The stronger your wrists are, there is a commonality between large upper arms.
Yeah.
Just remember that when you curl, okay? You want to read about it? It's out in Calvert Super Strength, which to me probably was, if not the best book written in the 1-2, maybe.
It was the only book on John Grimmick's shelf.
It's unreal. I mean, I can sit there and read that book over and over, or go out and just read a chapter at night. I never get sick of it. But, you know, before we go on, and I know we're getting near the end of the show, too. I mean, I know we're going to get into the iron boots and everything. But something I wanted to tell you, and I forgot, and when you talked about the gentleman in New York, we got a really nice email again the other day. I won't tell you his last name until we're off the air. His name's Donald, and he's from Long Island, and I'll read it to you because he mentioned your name specifically. It says, "Hi, Eric. I recently discovered your podcast and just wanted to let you know I am thoroughly enjoying them. I live on Long Island and know Roger well, so I was surprised I had not heard of your site or podcast. Just wanted to say thanks and keep up the great work. That's obviously somebody that's done business with you. So I'll give you his last name. You probably know.
I think I know who it is. But
okay, well, I'll give you his last name after we get off the air because I don't want to do that without
good
his permission.
Guy.
I appreciate Donald's comments too. Thanks, Donald, and we will keep up the good work. So,
thanks,
if we've gone through the clubs mostly, obviously we're going to talk about something that's dear to both of us and we both use. And just so people know, with the Iron Boots, Dennis is the gentleman that lost all the weight here, who we're going to put out that before the end of the year. But we've just embarked on another big life changer with him, and we are going to knock him down to 215 now by the end of the year. But we're going to make him not only showy looking, but super strong. And one of our main components for gut work and midsection are the Iron Boots. And Roger and I did a show about three and a half weeks ago on these, and it's been a smash. That and the pullover show, I mean, they've all been good, but those two shows have resonated with people. I'm very, very happy about, Raj.
Didn't you say that one is currently the second biggest
download podcast right now?
Yeah.
Dennis is doing many of the exercises we talked about in this new life changer we're doing with him. And we put a setup, we put a video out on Sunday, and I'm going to put it out again today of him just doing a couple of the exercises. Now, Raj, being that we are such fans of these Iron Boots, let's tie the show together right now with the Iron Boots. And if we got it on the next show, we'll come in and do a few other things if we want to elaborate anymore. But, you know, Roger and I are really probably taking a step back into a world that we appreciate more than anything, and we want to bring it to everybody because I'm getting requests for stuff like this. This whole thing with Indian clubs, maces, any of this stuff Roger and I have talked about today, people are asking for. We're very happy that we are developing shows that people really want to hear and they enjoy. And like I've said to you, Raj, I've got more than one email that have said that they've had life-changing experiences due to what we're talking about here. So let's get into the Iron Boots a little bit before we sign off for today. And like I said, we'll get into more stuff. You know, Roger and I are going to get into some calf, ankle. We're going to get into some things that nobody's talking about. We're going to maybe talk a little bit about some more rehabbing. We have a good rapport like that. So, Raj, let's talk a little bit about Iron Boots, and we'll tie this whole thing up.
That's an easy tie-in here, you've set me up perfectly for that, Eric.
You know something? You know what the funny thing is? More than one person says that, and I've been asked by people, do you guys rehearse before you go on talk? I said, we talk about the subject, and everybody I interview, I fly by the seat of my pants.
Wait.
And I love it that way because, as you can tell, Roger and I, especially me, I kind of dovetail into other things. But I always pull it back because I have a reason why I do it. So maybe that's the genius of the show, huh?
Well, it's good stuff. So yep. I want you, as a listener, I want you to think about some of those old pictures that you've seen of you've probably seen pictures of Hindu gods, right? And
sure.
There's actually one in a wrestling ring that I've got in my showroom of Krishna wrestling with another god. I don't know which one it is. I don't read Hindi or whatever it is written in. But it's a cool shot. And in the background, you can see the monkey god there with the big club, the gada, okay? Also sometimes called a mace in the Western world here. Well, one of the common poses you'll see these gods in, and it transfers into some of the Buddhist stuff that I'd seen in at the Shaolin USA headquarters. There is this position where the guy is standing on one leg. The other leg is up and turned in, so like the heel is going towards the opposite knee. And that is a position where martial artists will use the iron boots to work the inside angle of the ankle, the knee, and the inner thigh. So, and some people can get really heavy with it. I can't. I don't know why, but, I won't use more than like a pair of 2.5 pound plates added right on with the iron boot. Maybe I'm doing it too late in the workout. I don't know. But or maybe I need to just put some more emphasis on that exercise. But you'll find you have that leg you're standing on in a very minor quarter squat. So you're getting work in that leg too. It's all flexed up. Yep. And solid, so it's not going to move. Then you do that in turn with the ankle, and so that you can really work that inside part. That is one of the key exercises that a lot of the martial arts guys use that I sell the iron boots to. And like I've got one pro kickboxer guy that I actually went out to see in Vegas. You know who you are if you're listening. It is super cool. Where, his primary strength training stuff, he's got an Olympic bar with some bumper plates, Indian clubs, and iron boots. That guy is the prototype for the modern MMA guy that I'm selling iron boots to. And the story basically goes like this. He's calling me up about every 2 months at one point and buying extra iron boot parts. Mm-hmm. So, which didn't throw me until he started buying extra iron boots. And I asked him, I said, why are you buying more iron boots? Is there a problem? Did they break or something? I can't imagine that happening. They're solid cast iron, but is there an issue? He says, oh, yeah, there's an issue. I'm like, oh, crap. Yeah. What am I not seeing here? He says, the issue is I am developing a rack of iron boots. So I don't have to change the weight.
Keep changing out, yeah.
I don't have to change anything out. I'm using those little Allen collars. I'm using the heavy-duty straps. I'm converting everything over from to basically the commercial-grade, heaviest-duty version of this. And what he's got, and I've talked to him quite a bit, is – he will go and do an iron boot exercise or two using a specific combination of
weighted.
Maybe it's just the empty boots for one exercise.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a single boot doing that Thai knee kick exercise where he really weights it up, up to maybe 50 or 60 pounds or something. But he does it for reps exactly the length of the rounds that he's going to be competing in the ring.
Yep.
So he doesn't know
his legs.
He doesn't know what his number of reps is. He doesn't care. He just knows that he's got to have the leg strength and power to last that round.
Yep.
And
he's got to have kicks like a mule, man.
Oh, you know, I talk about these fighters that look like nothing but ligaments and tendons. That's what this guy looks like. He's maybe an inch taller than me, and I think he said he competes at like 124 pounds or something.
We need to get this guy on the show with me and you.
Yeah. He manages two of the biggest tattoo parlors in Vegas. Cool. The one is in it's right on the casino floor. That's where I met him when I went out there. And it's slipping my mind which casino it is, but you know, it's one of those super cool things.
Maybe we can.
I'll give him a call.
Maybe
I'll give
contact him and we'll do something. We'll Skype the three of us and have a big show just on Iron Boots again. But there's the main thing right now is, obviously with what we've talked about today with the clubs and the workouts and the Iron Boots. I mean, you know, it's just amazing that, you know, a set of Iron Boots and a set of clubs aren't going to set you back, you know, 10 grand. You're going to have apparatchia here that is not overly expensive, that really, really brings results. I mean, that's another show in itself. I mean, I wouldn't mind just training exclusively for 1 month. I'm talking no squats, and for me, that'd be hard as hell. I'd like to just sit for 1 month and develop an Iron Boot leg routine. Obviously, you know the one Hoffman did.
Yeah.
But take excerpts from everything, design a program, come back the next month, break in squat-wise, and see what the gains would be. Because I have a feeling the way I would approach it is just like the gentleman in Vegas. I would make my legs literally, they look just like a piece of steel. Might have flesh on it, but like you said, all ligament and tendon. Well, I'm talking, I just want to have cross sections of just muscle going everywhere, wrapping around everything, and then getting back in that rack and seeing what I could blow out of the hole. That would be a very interesting experiment, Roger.
You know, supposedly Grimmick did that, and he apparently went for 2 years without doing any leg work that wasn't Iron Boots.
Wow.
And he said it, I believe what he had for results is he said they were some of the hardest routines he'd ever done. This is what I was told by Jan. And he didn't lose any leg power in that time, but it got him much greater size, definition, and you know, my guess is that type of work really helped allow him to be able to do those heavy, heavy squats much later in life.
Later in life, and not only that, you know what I'm very interested in with it, because we know how many, you know, you've had knee issues, we all have, right? We know how beneficial they are for building around the kneecap.
Yeah.
That's something that I think we're going to have to get into in another show. That might be, you know, I'm kind of pressed for time in the next year, but I don't know what's going to happen after Iceland. So I don't know what I'm going to be working on. I have some ideas. Obviously, you know, I want to go to Scotland too.
Mm-hmm.
But it might be nice after I get back, you know, just because I'm going to need to really unwind from all that stuff. Maybe I do the Iron Boot course for a month, and we start, you know, doing a lot of video, taking a lot of pictures, you know, and showing the crossover with this. Because, you know, the more we talk about these boots, you know, the potential of these, and I'm sure we could come up with stuff that other people haven't done. You know, I'm talking maybe taking pieces and cutting them in half and doing other – you know, my buddy's a welder. I wouldn't mind messing around like they do with guitars. Mm-hmm. Cut them up, try all kinds of new stuff. This is how you get good at it. But, you know, that's another show, and you and I will talk, obviously, off air about it. We're about at time right now, Rog. Do you want? Is there anything else you want to just add quickly? And then, obviously, next week, if we want to develop any more this week, you know, we can dedicate maybe a half an hour, and then we'll talk about whatever we want, you know, subject-wise next week.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll give Angelo a call. He's the kickboxer.
Beautiful.
Really, really cool guy.
Well, I'd like to get him on with us. We could have a Skype three-way, and boy, that would be a hell of a show because obviously you got somebody that's really, really played with Iron Boots. And, you know, the audience seems to really love it. I mean, they download the show like crazy. So, okay, why don't we do that? So
yeah, I'll give him a call. But, yeah, guys, go to AtomicAthletic.com and you know, in the upper right, you've got some items, you know, in white where you've got the FAQ on, you know, shipping questions and things like that. But more importantly, you've got the blog right in the center there. And then on the lower left of that front page, you've got the Atomic Athletic Bombproof Bulletin. That's my email newsletter. And that's, you know, right on the Atomic Athletic /store front page right there to sign up for it. And that's the best place to see things. You've got my phone number there. You guys can call in, and the email address and whatnot. But it really, I work on the website every single day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you might not notice the changes because they're on a single product or, you know, I've modified a price list or put details in on some product, whatever. But every single day, that site's getting worked on. And you know, I'm starting to also add in links to these podcasts on related products. So if you're wanting to find, did Roger and Eric have some kind of a podcast on wrist rollers or, you know, something with curl bars or the Iron Boots, some of these things will be in there. And you'll be able to go to that product description and see, you know, there's Motivation and Muscle.
You know what, too? I know we were talking about maybe a special on the Iron Boots. Are you going to get into that, or are you just...
Yes.
You know, I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, no.
Okay.
Next week it's going to be there.
Okay.
And it's a special package I'm putting together that would be your introductory package, and where you can just say, I want to try these out, but I'm not going to get into all the fine details. I just... Give me the basics. Yeah. Boom.
Yep.
It's right there.
Well, we'll have to get that up on the FBC and get that pushed out for you too. So you'll have we'll talk about that too. Cool. You got anything else?
As some of you know, I'm starting to write for the Sentinel Tribune newspaper. Got a regular column coming in, a monthly thing, and first one should be out soon. I'm finding out later on today when that'll be. So that's pretty exciting stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
Right, then. So since Roger's given out all his info, we'll give a little of ours. This is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. There's a brand new Motivation and Muscle site up now. Eric's going to tweak a few things, but it looks fabulous. You don't have to do www unless you want to. It's Motivation and, as in A-N-D, muscle.com. Roger's picture is on there. He's lifting a nice sphere right over his head, so you'll get to see who Roger is if you don't know him. And you're going to see a lot of other individuals because we want people to connect with who's behind the mic. So we feel that's a lot better way to introduce ourselves to you, and that's the whole idea of what we're doing here. I'm on, let's see, Fiorella Barbell Company sponsors us. That's www.fiorellabarbellco.com. Big things are happening with that website, too. Wait to see all the changes coming with that. We're going to have a new weight loss product out. I know I've been saying that since the inception, but we've had to make some massive changes with things, and the Motivation and Muscle website is the springboard to everything now. We're on Facebook, Fiorello Barbell. We are on Twitter at Fiorello Eric. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. You can get a hold of me at Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.RR.com. And I guess that's it. Obviously, the Iron Boots show with Roger and I are out there. I believe that was at the end of August, around the 30th. It's in around that date. Listen to it. It was an incredible show. The round table the other night, absolutely, it was just awesome. That's, I hate using that word. It's used way too much. But I'll tell you what, all the guys on there are just very inspiring people. They're so authentic, and I'm just very blessed to have them all with us here. Like I said to Roger, it's like we are the new Roman Legion. We're just marching now. We're going right through the woods, baby. And I want to say another thank you out to Frank from Boston, Aaron from California, Donald, thanks for the nice words. Obviously, Herman, he's a regular emailer to me now all the time. And join us today at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Steve Helmicki's going to be a regular on Motivation and Muscle. Once again, we got a pool of great guys. And the big news is we got Richard Soren on Friday morning and then Brooks Kubik in the afternoon. I can't thank Bert Soren enough. He supported the show just like everybody. We're glad to have him and his father now aboard. And all I can tell you is just keep your ears and eyes open. We got some more big people coming down the way. I just have to verify it with them. So, Raj, we did another good one, man.
Yeah, it's great. Don't worry about using the word awesome because, while it might sound trite to some people, if it's the accurate word, words do have meaning. If it was awe-inspiring, which that round table was, it was really
great. Oh, yeah.
Use it. If it's the appropriate word, use it.
Well, all I can tell you, I'll use the word that just came to mind. We were an avalanche last Thursday night. That was an avalanche. And we're gonna try to put together another show next week, I hope a week from Thursday, because – depending on who and who can't come on, if we have everybody, we're going to have another surprise guest if I can pull it off with Skype. So that's going to be something I'm going to have to fool around with. That would be five people, and I'm telling you, this will be really good. So, Raj, you got anything else to add?
That's about it. I'll tell you that York abdominal course is selling well on Amazon. A classic. So,
we're getting in more and more of this stuff. We're going to get in deeper with obviously the York stuff, the abdominal stuff. It all ties together.
Yep.
And, you and I like doing stuff like wrists and forearms and ankles and calves, all the stuff that's, and we're going to, Steve is big on neck, but, you and I will do maybe some shows on the neck. Fingers.
Yep.
Let's start getting into the stuff that people really want, the old school stuff. But these are things that you don't think about that make big changes. Just say, for instance, in your deadlift, you got strong hands, strong fingers, strong wrists. What do you think is going to happen? But we'll talk about that another time. But look, Raj, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll talk, obviously, off air, probably, if not today, in this week. we'll get together and get a show spun for next week, and then we're going to try to get our round table. So for Roger LaPointe, this is Eric Fiorello. I want to really thank you for listening to Motivation and Muscle. Big things coming. Just get ready because each show is getting better and better. So have a great week, good day, and, you know, get out there and bust some iron up.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.